Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. This is the word of God. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit. Sorry, that's not the right verse. Verse 4, sorry about that. This is word of God. Verse 5 is for Korean worship. Okay. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time of worship and hearing of your word. Oh, Father, we are thirsty and we're hungry for your word. And we thank you that you are faithful in providing us with the heavenly manna that we need. And Father, we pray that we will be able to eat of your word and be healthy, healthy Christian, rejoicing always because of Christ. Father, we pray that you will receive all the glory, even as we hear your word. We pray that your word will be preached correctly, that your people will be able to understand and believe and desire to obey. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Through the Sermon on the Mount, we are looking at, the first of all, the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are also looking at the pictures of the citizens of heaven. You. We are looking at our present spiritual heavenly reality. This sermon shows us who we really are in Jesus Christ. The true picture of the people of God who have been saved from sin and this world. Let us continue to look at these wonderful pictures of the citizens of the kingdom of God. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. To this sinful world, this is a nonsense. Blessed are those who weep, mourn. But according to the Bible, the truly happy ones are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. This is something that the non-Christians have very hard time accepting. Well, they will never accept. The world uses all of its energy, money, and time not to mourn. That's the purpose. But the Bible teaches us that those who mourn are truly blessed. Luke chapter 6 says it this way in verse 21 over there. The latter half of that verse says, blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. And in that same chapter, Luke chapter 6, verses 24 through 26, But woe to you who are rich, for you are receiving your comfort in full. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep forever and ever. Blessed are those who mourn. Then what kind of mourning are we talking about here? Well, the verse 3, which we looked at last time, gives us a hint. Do you remember the first beatitude? Blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit. The same applies here. We are talking about spiritual mourning. Not mourning of this world. People of this world, they also weep. We're not talking about worldly depression. They're sad and weep because they're depressed. And we're not even talking about fake piety. Some, in order to give an appearance of righteousness, they act humble and low. They give an appearance of suffering and weeping. Colossians chapter 2 verse 20, if you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men. These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. So we are not talking about fake piety. And we are not even talking about mourning that comes from dissatisfaction in gratifying self-desires. The worldly people, they have the sinful desires, but it's not satisfied, so they're sad. They weep. We're not talking about the sorrow of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. So the world weep. But only thing that will produce is death. So what kind of mourning are we talking about? Well, to simply put, it is mourning of one's sin. Not mourning because of the consequences that we must face because of our sins, but mourning of our sins. Thus, the poor in spirit is the one who mourns. You must be poor in spirit in order for you to be the one who mourns.
He mourns of his sins, his sinful nature, his inability to triumph when it comes to sin, his hopelessness when it comes to the problems of his sins. And the one who mourns, he also mourns of sins of other people. We see that example so many times. For example, like Jeremiah, who mourned always of the sins of Israel. The one who mourns also mourns of sins of the church and of this world. And sometimes this mourning comes from the sufferings and persecutions that one received because of his faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. There, mourning has a heavenly orientation. They mourn because they don't clearly see the world of heaven here on earth. They are mourning because everything they see is tinted, affected by sin. Even their sufferings and persecutions, they are a reminder to them that the heavenly life that Christ has accomplished is not completely manifested here on earth, not yet. So, we mourn and we weep for heaven and Christ to be more clearly seen in our lives. These are blessed ones. And they know that their mourning will not last forever. For our verse says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Jesus says that these people who mourn, they are blessed because they will be comforted by God. Not only in the future, but now. For those who truly mourn because of their sins and sins of others, they will be truly comforted. And they repent. And because they truly repent of their sins, to these people the joy of salvation will be given. The people of God are the ones who mourn for their sins and other sins, and they repent of their sins and other sins. And they truly understand the joy that comes with salvation. Let us go to Psalm 51. Here we meet a person who mourns, who repents of his sin, King David. It will be truly beneficial to you if you take your time to time to read this psalm. Let's read the whole, well, to verse 17, but all the way to 17. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I will give it. You are not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. God's people, they repent of their sins, and God comforts them. The comfort of God is given to them. To them, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven is given. Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, he says, "A wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death?" So here's Paul mourns of his sin. Then we read this in the verse that immediately follows, verse 25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see it, brothers and sisters, in Jesus Christ, the true comfort? Is not God telling us that the worries of this world will vanish? The true comfort is not just knowing that God is listening to our complaints. The true comfort is our Lord Jesus Christ. True comfort is our Lord Jesus Christ, for true mourning is the mourning of our sin. You are repenting of your sin. In that context, the only comfort that we will have is Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. The sinful world does not understand the true nature of their state. Thus, they do not mourn. Biblical mourning. We're not just talking about just mourning in general. We're talking about biblical mourning, and the worldly people will never mourn because they do not see themselves as sinners. But you and I, we were the same. But God sent His Spirit to us, and He enabled us to mourn. Do you understand mourning is grace? It's the work of the Holy Spirit. He enables us to do that. God gave the opportunities to you and to me to repent of our sins. Do you remember Esau? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 and 17 says that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. Birthright pointing to a citizenship of heaven. And he sold that citizenship of heaven for a single meal of the world. You might say, you know, just reading that portion, you go, what was so wrong about that? But if you truly understand, he say, I don't care about heavenly citizenship. The single meal in this world, that's more important to me. I live for that food of this world, see. Well, for you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. He's not blessed because he wasn't given an opportunity for genuine repentance. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that when you find yourself truly repenting of your sins, that you feel very sorry for your sins, you are blessed. That is the proof of the Holy Spirit living in you. That the blessing of heaven has come to you. Otherwise, you will not repent of your sins. How we neglect this awesome blessing that God gives to us. Even when he gives you an opportunity to repent, maybe you're too lazy to do so. Or too stubborn. But hope in him. He will break you. That's why you're blessed. He will not abandon you. He will not leave you alone. That is why you are the blessed one. To his true people, God gave the blessing of mourning. Let's read Ezekiel chapter 20. Verse 40. Ezekiel 20, verse 40. For on my holy mountain, on the high mountain of Israel, declares the Lord God, there the whole house of Israel, all of them will serve me in the land. There I will accept them, and there I will seek your contributions and the choicest of your gifts with all your holy things as a soothing aroma. I will accept you when I bring you out from the peoples and gather you from the lands where you are scattered. And I will prove myself holy among you in the sight of the nations. And you will know that I am the Lord when I bring you into the land of Israel, into the land which I swore to give to your forefathers. There you will remember your ways and all your deeds in which you have defiled yourselves. And you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for all the evil things that you have done.
Ezekiel talks about the messianic blessing that is going to be poured down to his people.
That day when God gathers his people on his holy mountain, his people will repent. They will mourn. And we have already seen that in previous chapters of Matthew. Jesus Christ, he's the one who truly repented of all of his people's sin. Isaiah 57 verse 18, I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and to his mourners. Isaiah chapter 40. We saw this passage when we were looking at the previous chapter in this Matthew. This is about coming of the Messiah. Chapter 40, Isaiah verse 1, comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for her sins. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness, make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The comfort is what? For comfort for the people of God is the Messiah coming to them. Isaiah is called to comfort his people by telling them of the coming of the Messiah. The heaven has come. Jesus has come. The comfort has come. Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. If you understand those three verses, the comfort of God is coming to his people. But who brings it? The Messiah. He's going to come, proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God. Thus, the comfort of God coming. The Messiah brings the comfort of God. He is the comfort of God. And what he has done for us, him dying on the cross and living that righteous life for us, is the comfort of God for us. And you and I, we are the recipients of the true comfort of God, because you have received Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's no other comfort in this world. Brothers and sisters who mourn, the comfort of God has come to you. In Romans 8, verse 23, let's go there and read together. Romans chapter 8. Verse 23. And not only this, but also ourselves, having the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Groaning. Waiting eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. The resurrection. But the Bible clearly teaches us that the new heavens and the new earth has been accomplished for us. So in this context, the true comfort is also then our heavenly home. Our eternal home. So just like our church's name, Christ and heaven, those are your comfort. There's no other comfort in this world. Yes, you have much sufferings in this world. Yes, we have much tears in this world. But listen to what God says, Revelation 7:17, for the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of water of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. That is our comfort. Revelation 21, those who suffer, those who mourn, those with much tears, listen to what God says in Revelation chapter 1. Then I saw, Revelation 21 verse 1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. Verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. Heaven, it is a place where there will be no mourning. Because the perfect comfort of God is perfectly accomplished, so the perfect joy is given to its citizens. And that is God's comfort for us. Jeremiah chapter 31. Verse 12. They will come and shout for joy on the height of Zion. And they will be radiant over the bounty of the Lord, over the grain and the new wine and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd, and their life will be like a watered garden, and they will never languish again. Then the virgin will rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and I will comfort them and give them joy for their sorrow. I will fill the soul of the priest with abundance, and my people will be satisfied with my goodness. That is the promise of our God, and that has been accomplished for you and for me already in Jesus Christ. So, even as we mourn, we are comforted, and our mourning turns into rejoicing and dancing in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. So yes, what Jesus Christ is speaking of in our verse is your present spiritual reality. You are already comforted in Jesus Christ. The true comfort has come. The true comfort has been accomplished. The Messiah has come, and he proclaims the gospel of our God, gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Listen to what he says. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. He says this in Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Spirit of comfort has come to you and to me, and He lives in us. Do you remember what Jesus Christ called the Holy Spirit? I will send you another comforter. Do you understand that the comfort of God lives in you, reminding you of what Christ has done for you? He comes to us and gives us the comfort of heaven as we mourn in this world. Already and not yet. We still mourn, but we already have the comfort. We're not living in the Old Testament. And definitely not of the world. When they weep, there's no comfort. And they know it. The life of mourning. It was the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not that he was a sinner, but he was man of sorrow. Isaiah 53 verse 3 and 4. He was despised and forsaken of man. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised. And we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrow he carried. Do you understand our Lord Jesus Christ, when he lived his life here on earth, he knew sorrow and grief. Do you remember he cried when Lazarus died? Not just because Lazarus died that he cried, for he knew he will raise him up again from the dead. That is not the reason. He cried because what sin has done. He saw what sin has done to man. A man who created in the image of God. Sin has destroyed man. Luke chapter 19. Verse 41. When he, Jesus, approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it. Here Jesus cries, mourning. Verse 42, saying, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side. And they will lever you to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation. Jesus is weeping because of the judgment of God that is to come. Because of sin. And he sees how sinners, they are under that judgment. Do you mourn for this world? Because judgment is coming upon them. God's judgment is coming upon them. Do we love those souls? Do we mourn? He mourned for his people's sins of the world. He mourned for your sins. Do you see it? Jesus Christ himself mourned for your sins. This is why it is so glorious when we read this verse in chapter 5 of Matthew, because we see that now God inviting us to this life. He wants you to participate in the life of Christ. Life of mourning. Joel chapter 2 verse 12, yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart and with fasting, weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, relenting of evil. Even as you read, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Hear his voice calling you to participate in this glorious life of Christ. Yes, as you mourn, you are living the life of Christ. You are blessed. James chapter 4. Verse 8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He calls you to more. Humble yourself. It's time to mourn for our sins and sins of this world. It's time to mourn because the reality of heaven is not consummated yet. And you pray, you desire that heavenly reality that God has already created for you, already accomplished for you, would manifest in your life perfectly, but it doesn't. So you mourn. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, do you mourn for your sins? Do you mourn for sins of your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, no comfort, for there is no mourning. No joy, because there is no weeping. Understand, brothers and sisters? Blessed are those who mourn, and they alone will be comforted. It's time for all of us at this church to humbly come to God and repent of our sins. Weep and mourn. But see, that is not the end of it. You will be comforted. You are already comforted. Because by the work of the Holy Spirit who is in you, He is bringing you to this morning. Listen to Him. Listen to Him and obey Him. Zechariah 12, verse 10 and 11, I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He's talking about you. I will pour out the spirit of grace and of supplication, so they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn. In that day, there will be a great mourning in Jerusalem. That day has come. The grace has come. And also the comfort. Do you mourn of your sins? Sins that crucified your Lord Jesus Christ? Do you understand that little sin that you commit, that sin has crucified your Christ? Do you mourn of sins of your brothers and sisters, sins that crucified our Lord Jesus Christ? Brothers and sisters, let us listen to Him. It is indeed time for you and for me to mourn. Let us repent of our sins. And as you do that, as you repent of your sins, be comforted. Be convinced that God will comfort you. And that comfort has already given to us, but not yet. We must continue to mourn. But remember, it's not just mourning, but our mourning is always attached with comfort of God. Luke chapter 16, verse 25, you remember the rich man and the Lazarus? Abraham says to this rich man who went to hell, child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now Lazarus is being comforted here, and you are in agony. Exactly what we saw in Luke. You laugh now, you will weep forever. You weep now, you will laugh forever. Do you understand? Remember, your mourning will always followed by comfort. Comfort of heaven. Psalm 30 verse 11a says, "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing." And that is your confession. Even as you repent of your sins, as soon as you open your eyes and see the heavenly reality, indeed, your mourning has turned into dancing. Your mourning has turned into joy. Brothers and sisters, let us repent. So many sins we have committed against Him. Do not neglect this working of the Spirit who gives you the opportunities to repent of your sins. You're blessed. You're truly blessed. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, the heart that you desire, you have told us, is a broken heart. Let us not be proud. Let us not approach you as if we deserve it. But Father, let us humbly repent of our sins. Let us mourn for our sins and sins of our brothers and sisters. Let us mourn for the perfect salvation, the perfect reality of heaven is not witnessed perfectly through our lives. Oh Father, we thank you that even as we repent of our sins, we have the confidence that we will be comforted, that we are already comforted, that your comfort has already been given to us. Jesus Christ and His kingdom we possess. Jesus and His kingdom as our eternal inheritance. We thank you. Bless us, God. Let this church, let all of us, be those who mourn, so that we may be comforted now and forever. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.